Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money and hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
All right, today's live stream, we're going to do a feature on Mignon Francois. I've mentioned her on here before. Mignon, and that's spelled M-I-G-N-O-N, one word. Mignon Francois, and how she took $5 and turned it into $10 million. So we'll be featuring her today. She's not calling in, but we'll feature her because she's just got a fascinating story. Here's a woman, mother of 7 children. She and her kids were living in a house that she was facing foreclosure. Now imagine this. She's facing foreclosure. She's got 7 children to feed. So 7 plus her, 1, 8 people living in 2 rooms. She has a generator to get some type of power in the house. Her electricity and water was shut off. The family had to bathe, recycling the same bath water. And the baby was usually the first one to get, bathed because the baby was the smallest and the cleanest. In any event, we'll be back with more about her story. Turning $5 into $10 million, flipping cupcakes.
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he would come.
All right. I've mentioned this person on here before, Mignon Francois. I'm going to be giving her a call today. See if I can get her on here live so she can speak to you guys. But she's got a fascinating story, which I've mentioned on here before, Mignon Francois. She's got a bunch of videos on YouTube. I suggest you watch them. But just let me paint a backdrop for you with some backstory. Here's a woman, black woman, and she was living in either New Orleans or Nashville. Well, let's go with New Orleans. And she had seven children, or has seven children, and the lights were shut off and the water was shut off the same day. So it's her and seven children, and I think she was married at the time. So, eight people in two rooms living. She managed to get a generator so the kids would have, I guess, some electricity. Of course, they had to get money for gasoline to keep the generator going, but of course, you know, generators are loud and they're toxic, so she couldn't run it all the time. So when the kids were out at school or whatever, you know, that it, she was in the dark. In any event, one of the things that Mignon happened to do is, well, let me go back a little bit further. She got a recipe from her grandmother on how to make cupcakes. And she started making cupcakes, and she would give them away, you know, to the neighbors and whatnot. And, you know, as, you know, as real estate agents that were working the block, that neighborhood. So she would just, you know, give out cupcakes, I guess, to keep herself busy. Didn't have a business idea in her head at the time. And you would think with seven kids, she really couldn't afford to get bake cupcakes and sell them. I mean, make them and then give them away. Because she wasn't selling them at this point. She was, when she could, give them away. So, and you know what? I don't even know where she baked those. Well, she didn't bake them in an electric stove, I'll tell you that much. But in any event, one day she gets a knock on the door from a real estate agent that had a house for sale in the block, and she had tasted some of, you know, Mignon Francois's cupcakes. So she knocked on the door, and the lady asked, Mignon answered, the real estate agent asked her, why are you in the dark? And she said, I'm meditating. Okay, I'm meditating. So she said, look, I need some cupcakes for this open house I'm doing. Could you whip me up a batch of 60? So Francois said, sure, I'll do it. And now, mind you, she only had $5 to her name. And she had to, you know, make, that was the budget for the day to feed the family. Seven kids and her. And she could have been, so we're talking about 8 to 9 people need to eat off that $5. All right. So she took her grandmother's recipe for making those cupcakes, and she went and took that $5 to maybe the dollar store or something and got what she needed to make up 60 cupcakes, because the real estate agent offered to buy them for $1 a piece. So she put in an order for 60 cupcakes. Mignon took that $5, and that $5 stretched out to make the 60 cupcakes, and she turned that $5 into $60. All right. By the end of the week, she took that $5, which she turned into $60 the first day, and turned it into $600. Oh, did I tell you her house was, she was about to lose the house to foreclosure? Well, long story short, she, after that first week of flipping cupcakes, first day, $5 to $60, $60 to $600 for that week. And she's made over $10 million since. The name of her business is the Cupcake Collection. You can look them up online. They have a location in Nashville, Tennessee, as well as New Orleans, Louisiana. She could have played the victim, but she chose not to. She didn't focus on her lack. She focused on what she had. And she worked on what she had, used what she had, and turned it into millions. Enough where she was able to not only get the utilities cut back on, and then feed her kids, you know, regular meals and made enough to pay the back mortgages and taxes needed to get the house out of foreclosure. And they still own that house, and it's paid off today. So, Mignon Francois, I said we're going to work on getting her on here so you can talk to her personally, but she's got some absolutely motivational and inspirational videos on YouTube, so check her out. That's Mignon, M-I-G-N-O-N, Francois, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. Okay, let's see. And what do we have here? 77, if I can get this to work. 773, your mic is open. 773.
Hello, Grand Rising. Buenos dias.
Grand Rising. So,
well,
what do you have for us today?
That is truly an inspiration.
Certainly
was share that with the
seven
young people
children.
In the black metropolis. Mm-hmm.
Seven children and $5. No lights on, no running water.
You know, I was thinking about how she stretched that $5. She knew the general things that she needed to get the cupcakes made. So from the $5, I did, you know, when I read the article, I do realize she took the $5 and made $60 from it. That's pretty interesting.
That same day.
The thing that sparked my memory is that I had a friend. Well, I have a friend when we were younger. She and I went to grammar school together. She had a child early, and she'd wash her clothes in a tub. I mean, loads. She and her baby's clothes. The baby had a lot of clothes. And she may not have had that many, but the baby had a lot of clothes. She would wash those clothes in the tub. She inspired me. When I had my first son at 25, my mom would have me wash my son's clothes on my hand anyway, especially, like, not all his clothes. We had a washer, but his suits, things like that. She's like, oh, no, you don't throw that in the washer. So I reflected on my friend who, you know, why would I complain? I'm washing, you know, a suit on my hand, you know, wool light. But I would spend the night with her from time to time. And she would take maybe $3 and supplement. She would make, I'm like, how does she make this whole meal? I was eating bacon back then, but I remember we had toast and just ate good. Was it grits or rice? I don't know if I was introduced to rice as far as a supplement to grits at the time, but I know we ate good. We had the eggs. Because I'm like, there was really like, She lived with her mom. The mom worked, but, of course, rent was the priority. And then with food, you know, they had lights and stuff on, of course, lights and gas. But I certainly want to share that story. And she definitely, you know, mindsets like that, that's a prosperous spirit. So I want to share the story of Mignon with my friend Kelly. Mm-hmm.
You've raised three children, so I'm sure you probably have to stretch every now and then. How did you do it?
Well, funny thing, I ended up doing my lights were off, and I ate at Burger King for about a month or so. But by the time I looked at my bank statement at the end of the month, I was like, I could have paid the light. I was like, what? So we have those memories, you know. And the thing is, you know, I plug my laptop in at the Burger King. Every so often, I think they had, like, unlimited drinks at the time. You know, you buy one drink. But my son learned how to, you know, budget and things like that. Spanish, when I was going through the divorce, was my way of making
Burger
money.
King, why did you do that Burger King for that month versus, I don't know if dollar stores were around back then, versus shopping at the dollar store or Family Dollar?
No, I was trying to eat. We were eating.
Well, no, at Family Dollar, they sell food.
Well, I don't know about it being around the time. Remember, I didn't have any lights.
Yeah, they might have not been around at the time.
Well, I mean, I didn't have any lights. you know, as far as gas was concerned, I'm trying to recall with my gas. So my gas was turned off at one point as well.
All right, so
and
you
so
couldn't,
we,
you couldn't cook.
Well, I remember one time using one of those Centrella candles, Centrella candles. Put them mosquitoes. Am I saying that right? Well, you know, you put them on a patio. They sit on a table. You may have seen them before. They have a Centrella candles. They repel mosquitoes. Centrella. So nevertheless, I used one of those buckets, and I was trying to make heat. So,
that's
and
right,
you know, nothing caught on
in
fire.
Chicago.
I did have a situation, but the light thing was one issue. I ended up moving in with my, interestingly enough, I was divorced by then, but I was dating. I had gotten back into a relationship with someone I was in a relationship for, I think maybe 11 years at the time, and I actually left when my gas was off. I went over there, and I said, well, we're moving in.
okay.
You know, we were dating and acting like husband and wife, and I was like, he's responsible. Let me give him some responsibility. Nevertheless, when I moved in with the quickness, next thing I know, he paid that gas bill for me. I wasn't the type that would just ask too much. You know, I know a lot of women like, oh, you know, I make it work for myself. But keep in mind, I've been married, and I know the duties of a mate. You know, like you said, at one point with, what's her name, Mignon?
Yeah, Mignon Francois.
Well, like you said, she didn't complain. Her husband, whatever the situation was, you know, well, we don't know that she complained. That wasn't shared in her story, her testimony, as I call it. But she did what, like, she used the resources that she had. So, yeah, I've had to use resources at hand. And as far as I don't recall going to, because my companion did, like, buy clothes and shoes for my sons. And I would work because my mortgage, you know, keeping a roof over our head was a priority. And I don't know what it was, keeping over my sons, because they have the, they've always had the programs that help with the lights and gas. So I don't know what it was. I think it was a matter of just not being able to focus, because it takes life skills, home economics. That's in essence what we're talking about when I speak of my friend Kelly and Mignon. Those are home economics. How do you budget? Okay, all I have is $5. What can I do with the $5? Okay, so maybe there were a few additional cupcakes to eat that night or whatever, but she knew that there was a sacrifice that needed to be made. And those are part of skills, considering logic, conflict resolution. Those are some of the skills that we gain. Just
she made a $55 profit, because after she got the $60, she took $5 off the top and put it back in the kitty.
That was awesome. There are several things that I watched growing up, and I'm like, okay, this is how they do that. Because I grew up in a big house, you know. My mom, she was a nurse, but she was also very frugal. My dad was super frugal. But my dad was 21 when he had several properties that were paid for. Just growing up watching him, you know, make things stretch. And then a lot of things, even talking about the tiny solar movement, tiny solar home housing movement, we are actually living with more than what we really need. You know, it's bad. Like I caught myself, dollar stores are around now, so that's one of my favorite places to go, although they hiked the price up a quarter, you know, after the pandemic, you know, hit the economy. I still I frequent the store. I remember my uncle took my sister and I for the first time to a resale shop, thrift store. He found some plaid shirts. They were pretty much like oversized, but they were matching, different colors. Mine was probably like a reddish, hers was probably bluish, but they were plaid. And it was different for little girls, but my uncle bought the shirt. And he took us, not like we didn't have any clothes. Now, this is when my mother was working and so forth. But the thing is, we were slightly shamed, like, oh, you know, we went to the thrift store because we, you know, we got new clothes or hand-me-downs from bigger older cousins in the family. But what my uncle was doing, God rest his soul, he taught us because we always had some way to make money. We get the little allowance and things like that. Because we were at my grandmother's house while my mother worked. And so he took us, I think it was the same day, yeah, it's the same day, after we went to the thrift store, I guess so we could have, you know what, maybe it's so we wouldn't have the backouts and stuff. Because we were little girls, so we had the backouts and halter tops, right? So we were. Mm-hmm. He took us to go get a block of ice. And guess what we did with that ice? It's hot. He took us to the basketball court. And he took us to sell snow cones to the guys playing basketball. It was hot. So my dad, being an entrepreneur, this is, you know, years later, I'm, you know, 12 or something at the time. And that was amazing, you know. So it was instilled in me to be an entrepreneur, to work with what I have. And so that's what you see me doing now. I don't know if my son with the tiny solar, because they know your name. Your name is a household name. And I've got to get them in a conversation with you finally after all of these years since I've been, you know, getting to know you to really actually connect. A lot of times the spirits need to connect just to bring life and validity to what I've been sharing with them. They say, yeah, we're going to help you build. So we had a little situation this morning where I was being clear. They're going to have to work with what they got. My youngest son was saying what what he had to work with, and, you know, they, you know, buy their own food. They buy a lot of restaurant food, and it's not necessarily just a luxury. They're not very comfortable with where we live. I don't use the kitchen that often either. You know, I just find myself cleaning every day. Like half the day I'm cleaning, like, you know, as we speak, I'm on the phone. And so it's a little different than living in a house. See, my son grew up in a house. And so in this apartment, this is my first apartment since my divorce when I was, you know, married some years ago. But these skills, it entails the conflict resolution. Okay, I got a situation. I got $5 to my name. What do I do? So now I want to know, with that situation, did the lady knock on the door first? Okay, so her $5. So the lady,
well, she had $5 already.
She had
$5 already.
Right.
Yeah, she had the $5. So the lady placed the order, but the lady didn't pay up front.
Of course.
What she did was she took that $5, bought the ingredients, made the cupcakes that day. Maybe she went to a neighbor's house or something. But made the cupcakes that day. And then she called the agent when they were done. And then she got paid that day. So she earned $60 that day.
Yeah, that's clear. I don't know what I was kind of trying to put together.
Matter of fact,
she didn't just come up with the idea, okay, I'm going to sell cupcakes with
$5. She didn't come up with the idea.
It's an
like,
angel knocked on that door.
Exactly, because after she, and like I say, she gives a testimony on, there's a few YouTube videos where she tells us from a few different angles. When she said yes, but at first she didn't know how she was going to fulfill that order.
Okay.
She only had $5. So she took the $5 and got the ingredients. And I'm just speculating, even if it wasn't a family dollar store around, she knew how to shop. I've had a guy on here before out of Canada where he has fed maybe 10 people off of maybe about, I don't want to go above $10.
Mm-hmm.
Fed 10 to 15 people off of that. And they if they wanted seconds, they could do it. Now, what he did was he knew how to make soup, and he got, you know, he you know, had, you know, bread, and, you know, bread can fill you up. So there are people out there that know how to make inexpensive meals that can feed a whole lot of people. You know, soup is one thing you can do. But it'll, you know, it some like people that, you know what people know when you take five, even if it's a dollar, people know where to go. The first thing, they know how to shop. Anybody that can take, because she had seven kids. All right, so obviously she knows how to shop, and we don't know what ingredients he or she already had in the house, but she took that five to re-up on what she needed, and she turned the five into 60, then took back the original five that she needed anyway, that she had that budgeted for her family. And then by the end of the week, she made $600, and I'm sure pretty much at soon after that, within a month, she probably had $6,000. And then when her confidence level zoomed, she sat down and realized, oh, wait a minute. All right, I got six. So she was probably able to turn back on the utilities. And then she probably started advertising. I'm guessing, I'm speculating, that's why I went on in
I'm sure, yeah.
To answer those questions. But now this is something that a lot of people, I think this is probably the most interesting part about her story, particularly, I call it a real good prosperity gold nugget. What she did was, when she wasn't even thinking about starting a business, the cupcake business, she used to bake and give away her product. Now, Russell Simmons, he wrote a book, and he says, no, whatever it is that you do, give it away at first. And then when you'll give it away, and then eventually the money will start flowing back to you. Now, Russell Simmons said that, and if he's not worth a billion, he's scratching at the door of it. And I know a friend of mine, when he got out of prison, professionally he's in the transportation business, high-end clients with limousines and that type thing. So what he did was, still had his car, his limo, at the time, and, when he got out. And, his family kept that up. He whipped in this shape. And what he did was he used to go around to hotels in town and make friends with the doorman, okay, and even take what little money he had at the time and say, look, here's maybe $5, $10. Look, I'm giving away free rides to anybody who comes outside this particular club or hotel. If they need a ride, contact me. I'll give you another cut if they give me a tip, but it's free to them. And he started doing that, but practically everybody that he gave a free ride to in a limousine gave him a tip. And that tip led to, it's a major brand name entertainer, I'm not going to give his name, but that led to him getting accounts with, people who, actually billionaires, to tell the truth. Matt, the guy who started Subway, DeLuca, I don't think he's with us anymore, but that was one of his clients. And it all started, and then he was making $4,000 a week from one client. So if I can put the names out there, but then you can link it up with his name, so he doesn't like his name out there like that. But that all came from giving it away. He He said, just let me give it away. So that's what she did. So, and from that, and you know what? That's what a lot of these churches and mega churches and mosques and whatever, they do. They essentially give away the word or their motivation or whatever you want to call it for free. And you don't have to leave a free will offering, but if you put in a penny, that's fine. If you put in $1,000, that's fine too. But it's they had that business model of giving it away first. And
that's what if you're, you know, if you think about a lot of these, like these webinars, they say free workshops. So they're letting you know what they have to offer. You're putting it out there.
Right.
I attempted to do that with my Spanish. People love it, but then I have a multi-million dollar resource too. So you asked me about how I work with my sons, any situations that we've had. We've had, so they're much better, well, they're adults now, but they'll come to me with ideas. Well, nah, you know, Mom, we could do this, we could do that, because they don't have their own places as of yet. The one who's the father just actually moved in with his new girlfriend, and he seems to be happy. That's great, you know. But he has work, so they come to me with how to budget, you know, on certain things. Like I said, they don't. My 24-year-old, the one who's the father, he's normally the one who cooks mostly. Now, my 21-year-old will cook at times, but at this point, I'm looking like, you know, they prefer to buy the it's a little different because I have a roommate or, you know, boarder, whatever you want to call it. He's an older guy and not very neat.
Okay.
And so I hope he never hears this podcast. But I'd like for people to hear it, but not him. The reality is that they don't, and I'm somewhat to the point, too. Like today I just washed out a frying pan. He has his own pan and stuff. So it's not about being selfish. And then he's older, and I realized I made a mistake at one point. I said, hey, you know, don't worry about it. I'll clean it. You know, if you have dishes, I'll clean them. But then if I need to use something, that means I got to get you to clean it or just clean it myself. And it's like, you know, just extra energy. You know, when you're trying to figure things out, you don't want to have to put extra energy toward, you know, someone else, which is what I was sharing with my son earlier today. I found myself ripping and running through the house all day. It's like I really don't get to sit down too much, and that's not cool. So I realized it's time to make my exodus back to where I was. You know where I was. You know, and I won't necessarily be living with anyone, you know, even if I, you know, just rented a small studio, I certainly, you don't have to allow them to be independent. What they say, cut the purse strap. Cut the purse strap. Purse string, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Purse string.
Cut
the purse string. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, they're learning, so that's the good thing. I just know that separating from it, since I'm divorced, you know, we've been together. It's always been us together. So, yeah, it's definitely, I want to share this story with them. They come to me, Mom, you know, you do this and you do that. Especially my oldest son, Mom, you know, we shouldn't be struggling. I'm looking like, I'm not struggling. I'm just not a millionaire just yet, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing is, you know, they're looking for me to actually set the example and set the pace. I think you asked me one conversation on your podcast, you know, if I know how to cook. So, yes, but at most I would probably do my brownies. I love brownies. I will probably do brownies. But I don't necessarily want to do that. But the reality is that it's a consumable product, and then you got to reorder. Now, with the Spanish, that's one thing. And that's actually, that's probably not, it's not going to be what's going to get me to where I want to be. I normally don't self-doubt, but the consumable product, like some of my friends like yourself know that I sell Mary Kay, which is like Avon. Everybody's familiar with Avon. Mostly everybody's familiar with Avon. But Mary Kay is cosmetics. Well, it's a cosmetics company. And I've met some young people that never heard of Avon. So I try to make the comparison. They're like, no, I don't know what Avon is. So consumable products that need to be replenished. So I will consider that. You know, I think I was being lazy or something. I don't know. I won't say lazy because I'm too busy to be lazy. I'm always doing something, helping somebody, whatever. You know, you kind of got to get out of, you know, maybe the lady, Sister Mignon, maybe she doesn't feel like making a pancake. I mean pancake. You can tell I haven't cooked breakfast just yet. Maybe the cupcakes. Maybe she didn't feel like it, but she, like my Mary Kay sales director says, I'm working on my van. She said, get up and something, even if you don't feel like it. So that's part of how I push myself, you know. Generally, it's been my sons have been my motivation. Like, okay, got to get up, feed the children, you know. And then it was always a joy. Like I told my sons, I want them to keep their room door open. They were like, why do you open our door? I said, well, when you need privacy, then that's privacy. But I want to see y'all. When I'm moving about the house, I want to see y'all. I want to feel like I'm here by myself. At times, I want to be alone. So that means you don't knock on my door. But I'm not going to knock on your door all the time. Get some privacy. But just to, you know, a lot of times families, even through struggles, you can encourage each other. And it doesn't have to be that you are going to the mall. What did my son say? He wanted to take me to the mall, my oldest son. He said, do you want to go to the mall? What was he talking about? What was he? And I was like, what, the window shop? I said, where we go, the window shop? What was he talking about? The movie? Something, maybe the movie. Or something. Because, you know, once they know how to, even in the midst of a struggle. And I will say this, so I don't always let them know when I have financial resources or additional financial resources because I don't want it to be their resource unless they actually needed a step up. But it's more like literally, even for my sons, it seems to be a handout at times. My youngest son asked if he could borrow a couple of dollars today, and I'm like, I can't keep doing it. Or it's not healthy to do that. Not healthy. No, bar for what? Now they're at work now. They do moving. They're movers, haulers, light haulers and movers. So I'm learning at the tender age of 52 to not only be more frugal. So I like Dollar Tree. So I'm learning only go in there, get exactly what I need. Don't look around. I'm the type I like to get what I want, and then I'm finding myself. Find stuff that I have. Because remember, I was moving from Chicago. I was moving. So I got some things packed up. And then I'm like, something. So I said, let me just get organized and look through what I have and quit buying stuff. I got a fragrance.
Do you have a fragrance, she said? Hello? Reva, I think you muted yourself.
I did. My ear did that. I'm trying to pop my trunk.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, that's aromatherapy is real. And it's not just me. So, I'm learning, you know, like in the biblical days, people, they use oil. They did, they took advantage of the power of aromatherapy. In order to heal, the oils, frankincense, the herbs. So the reality is that you have to do some things to motivate yourself, to encourage yourself, to make yourself relax, to allow yourself to relax and have peace, even in the midst of struggles, whatever. So I'm sure that, Sister Mignon, I'm hoping we can get her, we can get through to her today. That would be great. She is an awesome inspiration. Yeah. And you are as
well.
You know, a lot of folks
that's the inspirational story, $5 to $10 million. Didn't happen overnight, but I'm impressed with the – she took $5 and then turned it into $60 I did something like that in I'm not even going to name the city. Some years ago in another city that I'm not in right now, I was in this particular city and I was – but lived in another town. And I was flat broke. The gas tank was on E. But I knew if the indicator's on E, you know, you got a little bit of a reserve in there. So what I did was I got up the next morning because I had a property there, a vacant house. I stayed there overnight, got up around 6:30, 7 o'clock. Well, I got up in time for the morning rush hour. And I knew, okay, there's people that, you know, need a ride to work. So, you know, and they let you know if they need a ride to work, a hack, as they would call it. So in less than 5 minutes, and mind you, I'm on E, I picked up my first ride for the day and had enough, how much did I make on that? Something maybe about $10. And put that money in the gas tank. I took, let's see, $2 out, and I would donate that to a church if I would pass by. I would call it tithing. So, long story short, I probably ended up with $300 by midday, and started on E. I've done that twice. I haven't done it in years, but then some days, depending on what time of the month, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 3:30, somewhere around there, I would have. I remember somebody got in the car and they needed to break a big bill. I had the cash to break it. I had like a knot that can choke a horse. Started off.
Wow.
So, I just as a social.
If someone is listening in now, what is it that you were doing? Someone is now listening in.
I was just robbing people around. They need to get to work. They need to get. And this is all before Uber.
This was all before Uber. See,
this was back
then. That's a $1 billion idea, right?
That, you know what, I didn't think about it. This was back in 2003, 2004. Matter of fact, let's look it up now. Let's see, Uber. I'm going to look it up on my phone. When did Uber get started?
Well, they had taxi services in the jet livery and all that.
They had metered taxis in this particular city. All right, Uber,
that was
Wikipedia.
Smart. Wow.
And I had seen other people do it over the years, but I never did it. And the only reason why I did it is because I was broke. Like I said, I lived in another city, but I happened to have some people call it a townhouse or a row house, whatever you call it. And I stayed in that. Actually, it was a friend of mine's townhouse. I helped him buy it, though. So I stayed in that vacant house overnight, knowing, okay, I got to get up in the morning. I got to hit rush hour as it starts. And I knew where to drive. So, and I knew the reserve tank. I knew my car, so I knew even on E, you know, I can probably drive maybe about 5 miles at least and not be running out of gas. Okay. So, because then that would have created a real big problem. Let's see. Uber was founded in 2009. I did this around about 2002 or 2003 at the latest, somewhere around there. So, and Uber was started in 2009. So, and there were no apps. The apps like we have on our phones today, there were no apps back then. And, I'm very basic when it comes to computer. I know how to turn it on, off, email. I hardly use email now. I got like 6 email accounts. I barely read them because, you know, the phone, the smartphone, and instant messages. That the instant messaging, Zoom, you know, Clubhouse, that's the way I communicate now. All right. So, but I knew what time rush hour started. Rush hour basically starts the same anywhere you go in a major city. So I knew where to go. I knew where to drive. So I got out there in less than 5 minutes. I saw somebody waving for a hack. Picked them up, got that money, took a couple of dollars out. Now, I had a little envelope that I would, you know, stuff, because I'm a big believer. I rarely go to church, but I'm a big believer in tithes and offerings. I probably break all commandments in the book minus murder, but that's one thing I do religiously. So, in any event, let's see, there were days where I would make $300 by noon. And then other days, you know, I'd stick it out to about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I'll be done for the day. So, but I like to do with cupcakes. Just on GP, based on Mignon's story. So I would do it slightly different. I'm into solar cooking. That's a hobby of mine.
I really want to do a video with you on that. I saw that panel. You put that together yourself, or was it purchased?
Yeah,
I've
made
a
little. So I know how to make a little solar cooker. I've cooked steak.
Wow.
I can cook a steak in probably about a minute, solar cooking.
Wow.
Not a big steak, but a regular size steak. I've done those in about 1 minute. I can fry an egg in about 15 seconds or so. And I've done some videos on that in the past, but I've never baked anything. I never solar baked. So what I would like to do is I would like to take what she did and go one step further with solar cooking. Now, cause with solar cooking, you need the sun, obviously. And the best times to solar cook stuff is between 10 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. in the afternoon if the sun is out. Like where I'm at right now, not a good day to solar cook right now the way it is. But I've known some people that they've cooked meals and made stews or whatever, went to work. When they came back, and the good thing about solar cooking, now there's a couple of ways to solar cook. When I did the steak in 1 minute, let me give you, and then I did the fried egg in 15 seconds. Let me give you the physics behind this. There's a couple of apparatuses that you can solar cook with. So it's not one size fits all application when it comes to solar cooking. When I did the steak and the egg, first thing, you need certain equipment. I used a Fresnel lens, and a Fresnel lens is like a huge magnifying glass.
Okay.
And when you focus it in and get a focal point on it, just like, you know, with these little magnifying glasses, it's the same principle, but it's just a lot bigger. So you'll get a white, and the light is so bright, you need, when you solar cook, you should do it with a pair of welding goggles, not sun goggles, but welding goggles, which is very heavily tinted. because that light is so bright, but you can blind yourself. So, and the Fresnel lens harnesses the rays of the sun, and you should also put on a pair of gloves, work gloves, because you don't want to burn your skin. So that focal light on a Fresnel lens, and you cook on, I use a black skillet, because black absorbs heat quicker, or conducts heat quicker, better. And, you grease up your pan or whatever, and then you put whatever you're cooking on there, you focus that Fresnel lens on that, and within a minute, the steak's done. Within 15 seconds, the egg is thoroughly cooked, fried up. But like I said, you need a pair of welding goggles, so we'll have classes on that. So, but I want to solar bake. Now, with solar baking, you don't need the goggles and the gloves and all that, but they got different type of solar cookers. So I've known people that have baked cakes, cupcakes, cookies, and all that. You just put it out there, you put it in the sun, and then the sun does the work. And then you have other people who've made stews and anything that you can cook in your kitchen. You can solar cook with the right apparatus. And what I like about that is, the common denominator with solar cooking is you have to use the right apparatus, and the sun's got to be out. But the best time for solar cook something is from 10 to 3. But there are people that they have a regular 9-to-5 job, so they have to be in. So they'll prepare their solar meal for the day and put it out in the sun, within the solar cooker, and then go to work and then come back, and the temperature is just right, because through normal solar cooking, it doesn't scorch the food. Unless you use something like a high-powered Fresnel lens. And that harnesses, that heat from the Fresnel lens is like 2,000. It's over 1,000 degrees. It's over 1,000 degrees. So that, thus, you need the, I was over in Germany one spring on a snow-capped mountain. And I got some videos I had to send it to you. And the sun was reflecting off of that snow that you can only look at the snow for very brief periods of time, because it was that bright of a light coming, the solar light. And people got it was so, I don't know, I can't explain it, but I get cold real easy. But on top of this mountain, I had to take off some clothes. I had to shed some clothes. There were some people that had no shirts on. But the next time I go over in that neck of the woods, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and those Alps over there, you'll have an interesting solar experience. I suggest have some sunscreen, because I've known people that got sunburn. You wouldn't think that would happen on top of a snow-capped mountain, but it does if the sun's out, and it reflects off of that white snow. And wear a pair of sunglasses, because it's very. It looks like you're inside of a what do you call those things? A Christmas postcard. Very picturesque. But the sun, the sun's a good thing, but it can also put you out of commission if you don't have the right equipment. But anyway, we'll do some solar cooking, but I want to do some solar cooking, solar baking, because I haven't done that yet. I've done hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks, eggs, vegetarian meals. I've solar cooked all of those, but I have not solar baked yet. And that's probably the easiest thing to do. It'll take some time to do it, but you can whip up a solar cook meal depending on which. If you use a Fresnel lens, you can probably do a meal, meat, vegetables, within less than 5 minutes. If you do a steak, you do that first, or you can do that last. You know, your vegetables, you can do steak, you know, it doesn't take long when you use a Fresnel lens. If you want a slower cook meal, they have other apparatuses, but we'll go through that later. Anyway, now, tonight, we have a Clubhouse powwow, so would you like to give information on that?
Yes, okay. Yes. I was.
Reba, hold that for like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Now, I call that audio that we just heard 9 friends. More than likely, they had about 18, because 9 pickup trucks came. And you figure there was at least one other person in those 9 pickup trucks. So, you know, 9 times 2 is 18. I'm just speculating with that, but I call it 9 friends because now they were doing a house. They did a whole house renovation within a matter of hours. And the principle there is many hands make light work. Well, Mignon Francois, the mother of 7, she, you know what? It was 8 of them, and her ex-husband helped, or her now ex-husband helped. So, now, she had a little infant. So, because I imagine, you know, because she, I got a little audio over here, but she's not talking about her baking thing on here. But if you go to YouTube and look up Mignon Francois, M-I-G-N-O-N, Mignon Francois, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. And she tells the story from a few different angles. So, all right, out of the 7 children, and Francois couldn't bake at the time. She had a daughter or two that could, but she just had her grandmother's recipe. And then they had a baby, so the baby couldn't get up. But I imagine, okay, talk about many hands make light work. She put those kids to work. They basically, the cupcake collection, you can look it up online. They got a location in Nashville and one of, New Orleans, Louisiana. They basically started a family business. The cupcake collection is a family business. So I imagine on the day that she took the $5 and turned it into $60. Now, this is day one. And mind you, she didn't know how she was going to fulfill that order today on day one. She wasn't thinking, she probably didn't even have a name, the Cupcake Collection, that day. But she had a grandmother's recipe. That's a set of hands there. Then you've got, now I have to, I got to load up some new audio because that just reminded me of Bill Withers' song called Grandma's Hands. But anyway, so Grandma's recipe, that's two hands. Grandma, but she had, that was a long-distance phone call, but still two hands. And then she had seven kids, so let's take from the equation. No, yeah, seven kids. So let's take two out of the equation where they were just too young to run around the neighborhood or even help out. So you got five kids, so because she turned that 60, or she went from 5 to 60 on day one. And by the end of the first week, she had 60. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. That's why I want to bring her on here and tell her full story. Maybe they made some flyers, and those five of those kids went out and put flyers in people's doors, put them on windshields. Don't know if, you know, because her basic marketing technique was she baked the product and gave it away for free. And then, you know, she got other orders from not just one real estate agent, but other real estate agents who were selling homes. And then maybe she took out an ad in the news. I don't know. Church, well, that's what we got to get on here to get, you know, what. But her first marketing technique was basically to give them away. She, with no idea that she's going to start a business. So no matter what you want to do, from building a house to hustling cupcakes, or I don't know, maybe it's Friday. You know, there's some people that don't want to cook. There are people out here hustling dinners on the weekends. So anyway, back to you, Reba. Now we have a clubhouse room. Could you explain what clubhouse is and what will be the general topic for tonight?
Okay, so Clubhouse is an app. It can be downloaded now, Android as well as iPhone, and it's a social media app. Where you get on there and you just talk about, share ideas. There are lots of resources. We're talking about Couples Building Wealth. That's the name of our club. And I actually just self-titled it, Couples Building Wealth, as well for our room tonight. So we're furthering the conversation and sharing of resources and strategies of – and the purpose of putting together this forum to discuss couples building wealth. We actually came up with the, Brother Ella and I came up with the idea to do this particular one based off of the fact that a lot of couples are struggling through COVID, you name it. And when you build together, because generally I shared with my son, and we discussed a year or so ago about how it would help to encourage to prevent further violence in the inner cities if we teach these young people to build, teach families that are struggling, teach them to build their own house, thus almost like a Habitat for Humanity type thing. But then this is a little different because there will be no mortgage or taxes. And off the grid. Off
right.
The grid, meaning, and I'm learning from you, okay, off the grid obviously means that you are not paying a utility bill. One of your audios that you shared,
no utility bill from a municipality or private company, no municipal water at all, and for heat, if you're going to in a colder climate, you're not paying an external source, but we show you how to how to heat your home using alternative energy. I mean, you have people out here that heat their homes using corn or other forms of renewable energy.
I'm out there walking. I got someone here with me who pretty much gonna help my sons and I build our tiny solar mobile cabin. So I'm glad that you're able to share those additional details, you know, because he would ask what the purpose is. My son's godfather, he would say, what's the purpose? He's working on my van. What would be the purpose in building it, not just for fun, which would still be a great project?
Well, the purpose of it is
the roof over our head.
Now, here's the purpose, because it's, what time? It's almost 12 noon here. The purpose of it is, one of the purposes, I imagine, is, I mean, the primary reason why people, and you're up in the Chicago area, so Chicago has a heavy rush hour in the a.m. and the p.m., as is many other cities around the globe. And the primary reason why it is a heavy rush hour is because people have to go to work to pay for the roof over their head, pay for water, pay for electric or gas, you know, the cook and the, you know, just the basics. So if you have a house that generates its own energy, you really don't have to go to work unless you want to. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
The reason why people are getting up to go to work is they have to keep the roof over their head. And, I mean, and that comes before a lot of people eat. But some people have to make a decision, particularly if they have children. Am I going to eat, or am I going to pay the rent or the mortgage?
Yeah. Well, the
utility companies will cut you, the electric man and the municipal water man will cut you off.
Yeah.
And if you have something that runs by gas, natural gas, they'll cut you off. And they don't have to go to court to do it.
Right.
They do not have to go to court to do it. So if that's
well, the good
not
thing is that there are
enough,
so many.
You were saying?
There are so many different resources to eat nowadays. And so what I see, something besides pantries and things like that, even though they're talking about a food shortage, there's still ways to get food. So I was talking to my sons earlier, ages 21, 24, soon to be 25. He'll be 25 on 14, and 27. So codependent on me, I'm like, your priority is your roof over your head. And it's not my responsibility. I told them what they needed to do to help. At this point, that's not even my conversation. So if by the 15th they don't have what they need, I explain by the 30th I'm actually going to be relocated. They will not have access to where I am now, where we are now, because they, you know, and they have resources, so they won't be homeless. But I got to let it go because they keep on, they're codependent.
Well, in the Amish and Mennonite community, they go grades, academically, they go grades 1 through 8. That's it, grades 1 through 8. Now, the typical Amish family, number one, owns a business. And then also, when Amish leave the home, they typically, their family will get together with other family members and in the community, Amish or Mennonite community, And they will build, particularly if the kids get young, married at a young age, you know, like 19, 20, 21, those days. Typically, they will, put it this way, the typical Amish house does not have a mortgage on it because the family has the skill set to teach these kids how to build their own home, a house, debt-free. That's in the Amish, heavily in the Amish community, and also heavily in the Mennonite community as well. That's just basic. And if you go back to the well, look, a lot of the slaves that were captured over in Africa, no, they didn't know how to build the kind of houses that we have now, but Kunta Kinte, if you look, he was captured at 17, you know, for people that saw Roots. He was captured at 17, and that was West Africa. Typically, at that age then, you know how to build your own hut, roof over your head, and start, you know, provide for a family.
Oh, yeah.
But what has happened in the last 150 years, the government has gotten involved with education, so the basic fundamentals of living, let me get the basics, okay? Learning how to walk, talk, potty train, those are the basics as of 2022. How to feed yourself, you know, if somebody cooks for you. But if we go back 150 or so years ago, it was how to walk, talk, and how to build your own place. Slaves, before they were freed in 1863, male slaves and most female slaves knew how to build their own house, how to grow their own food, which means they can feed themselves, or how to catch their food. Modern man, if we took away the fast food chains and the Whole Foods and the Wegmans and the Piggly Wiggly or whatever grocery stores in your neck of the woods, if we took that away, and take away the food pantry, the typical American, regardless of income or where they went to school, would starve.
Yeah, yeah. So we're also talking about, we mentioned urban gardening, so that group that you were in on, the Chicago Farmers Initiative. We're teaching urban farming, and we would need to use raised flower beds because the soil in the inner city is supposedly
depleted,
not healthy enough to produce.
Depleted.
Raised beds, raised flower beds, and then also aquaponics. Certainly would want to share that resource. Young Enterprises Society, if your audience could look them up and Google Young Enterprises Society, they built apple orchards. So keep in mind, now they have a 40 plus unit that they should be done with by now or by next month, July, I think, because I did see something online. So these young guys, Q. L. Amin, one of the co-founder of Young Enterprises Society, and his brother Khalif, Q came up with the idea to create an aquaponics facility, and it's out of the old factory on the Chicago State University campus. So it used to be a shoe factory years ago. So that is now the aquaponics facility, and they do tours. I know they at one point they were doing tours. I actually toured, and my fiance at the time, his niece, who is a gourmet chef, Chef Gio Soul, she actually took some of the herbs. She used basil and some other herbs from, which means growing fruits and veggies from fertilized, fish fertilized water or soil.
Okay.
So they taught the science behind it and so forth. But Gio used some of the herbs, and she made a meal that we were all able to taste, and it was just fresh. So The fish fertilize the water. The water is filtered into the soil. And it's self-containing, so that's the good thing. So, and actually, it's they have like a filtration system. So I could show you. I'm in a video. They interviewed me. Well, they didn't interview me. My son, older son, was on town. He didn't speak very much. They didn't even capture him speaking at all. I don't think he just was. Like, he was kind of shy. So, nevertheless, it kind of made me. I was taking him back. I was like, so you got to be careful once again. You know, if you are around people that are not smarter than you, then you kind of literally kind of dumb down yourself. So I was just a little disappointed that my son wasn't as articulate as I know that he can be. But he had been around the folks that were. I'm like, he didn't, even when he spoke, he did not speak well to, he really wasn't even able to communicate his thought. As you can see, even for myself, I have to learn to stay focused, which is not really his problem. It was the fact that he, you know, his vocabulary had been affected. His level of speech, not just the effect of the ability to communicate well, besides the verbiage. So that's the aquaponics. You can actually take a fish tank and build a garden from your, you know, have a garden in your home, a fish tank. Mm-hmm. So they teach that as well. So yeah, there are resources. And you and I talked about teaching. I apologize. That was Brother Muhammad. He had some land in what's that? Yogi Bear Camp in Portage, Indiana. He had lots out there. Okay. I haven't spoken with him in a while. And so he had lots with some trailers. And I said, well, because I was going to work with him to put together a program to get children out there, and we would plant gardens on the rooftop of these trailers so they not only could see how to live simply, so it's tiny solar living. So I got pictures too, inside of a couple of his campers. And then he had the, what you call the storage, you know, the trailer part, the enclosed thing that you can attach to the camper. So he had those two. He had five lots at one point, and it was just costing him too much money. I know he had sold some of his campers. I was trying to buy one at one time. And I think some of his family members wanted to get it, which I don't even think they got them. But it was really a great concept to take them out. They will be able to spend the night over in the campers and then go to the Yogi Bear camp, you know, in the summertime. Maybe have like a weekend. And so I met you two not too much long after. And we talked about doing some retreats. You know, maybe families would come out to Florida and maybe set up in your Airbnb. Because I certainly, you know, by you having those properties, you know, you'd ask my opinion. I certainly, you know, encouraged you to do what you're doing now, which actually, you know, rent out some of the space that you have. Because you're like, well, if you go, how should I keep the house? You know,
well,
your mom's
one of
your
the ideas, one of the ideas we wanted, matter of fact, he just said it, is the way I put it is, we want to teach people how to create their own golden goose that lays golden eggs.
Okay, yeah.
And a golden goose basically is an asset that produces, you know, more assets.
Yeah.
So that can be, matter of fact, let me play this one audio that explains it. I played on here plenty of times before, but pay close attention to it, because this involves what we're talking about now.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Now, Lamar built that house solo in 2 weeks by himself. Okay, imagine if he had 9 friends, they could have thought, man, a collapse time on that. They could have done it probably in a matter of at least a weekend, if not a day. But the most important step with all is you have to find the right location. Due to zoning in your big cities, they're not going to allow you to do that. So you know, this what you just heard is not going to happen in Boston, D.C., L.A., Chicago, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis. You're not going to find it because the top population is too dense in those areas. It's too political. So you have to go to a place. First step is, and here's the beauty of it, though. You have 19,500 municipalities in the United States. You know, 47% of the population in the United States lives in a community that has, I think, 5,000 people or less. I look for areas that have less than 1,000 people. Actually, I look for areas that have 400 people or less. So they're more of those. That's where the action is. Anyway, 773, Reba, you're back here. So, anything you want to promote or put out there before we close out for today?
Once again, I'm going to get Mr. Freeman, who is a military, Army military veteran, encourage him to, he's one working on my van, get him to call in on tonight. He is a single father with children.
That'd be a great project
for him as well.
Yeah, if he's an auto mechanic, that would be a...
He's not a mechanic.
That's a good project. So, yeah, that's a good life skill to learn.
Yeah, well, I was telling him about my son.
Because
my
you can go to a junkyard and buy something on the cheap, fix it up, and sell it. Or drive it yourself.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, he likes to buy. I think we've gone to a junkyard before, right? In a certain park, right? He took the pick and pull or something. So he said, yeah. So he's under the hood right now. So, but at times he would encourage me to. And again, he's not a mechanic. He's my son's godfather. Actually, we used to date. Maybe we, you know, back in the day. Maybe had we built a house, we'd still be together.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we got couples building wealth, because if you look at going back to slave days in this country,
it builds a bond too. It builds a bond.
Building anything creates a bond. So what slaves did, particularly the first 50 years after slavery was abolished in the United States, you know, you had black folks that had, like, big families, 12 kids, 13 kids, 18 kids. But, you know, all by the same, they had these kids together. So they built the house together. They built the barn together. I mean, as the kids got, as they grew, they taught kids life skills. They taught them how to make clothes. And essentially, that's what the Amish and the Mennonites do today. They have a low divorce rate, but the common denominator is practically every Amish and Mennonite family, particularly the Amish, they have family businesses. So they build the business or businesses together, and they built the house together. So, you know, it'll be a rare occasion where you see an Amish or a Mennonite person at the social services office or at the food pantry. Couples building together.
Yeah, maybe we'll build a different kind of bond, you know. I'm going to invite Mr. Freeman on the clubhouse, to the clubhouse room this evening. Tonight at 6, we're going to be on. Brother Jihad is also a single father. He's got 6 children. Some of his children actually, he was on clubhouse.
That's 6 people that he can put to work.
Yeah, well, his younger two work with him, and they sell cookies and candy bags. I think they just ask for candy bags, but he sells oils. He's out there every day. He actually quit his job at the railroad. What a testimony. Because he felt like he didn't have enough time with his family.
Right.
He quit that good paying job. He quit that. He's like, no, I'm going to spend time with my family, and he makes more money. And he said that they were asking him to work at this house. After working 12, he's like, no, he couldn't live his life like that. So that's an amazing, just like the inspiration of Sister Mignon. And what I was going to do as well, tweet, like, so if you'd like, maybe a tweet would get the word out that someone wants to invite her on. Maybe I'll look on Twitter, see if I can find her. Or the website. I was on the website. I didn't look.
Oh, you're talking about Francois Mignon?
Yeah, because you have her. You found
go,
her.
Go to her
you
website. Look. The name of her company is called the
Cupcake Collection.
The Cupcake Connect Collection.
Yeah.
She's got a website. Just call them up.
Well, you were going to have her on the show, but I was thinking maybe if we had, you were going to call her, see if you can get her to speak and share today. So
well,
maybe
I'll let you do that.
Put
I'll
a tweet out there.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll
get contact with her. I mean, I don't know what city she's in, but call one of those numbers. They should be able to track her down.
Yeah, well, yeah, the tweet would probably track her down as well. But I need a link for your podcast. You know, I need a link first for our podcast.
Hold a podcast? This one?
Yeah, this today's podcast.
Yeah, just go to Blog Talk Radio.
It's hard
just
for me to
navigate. Just go to
Blog Talk
Radio and look up It's My House. And
well,
it'll
let me see what happened. I don't know, because I normally just click on a separate link, an old link or something like that. It just doesn't pull up for me sometimes.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me look it up here. I'll text it to you. What time is that clubhouse meeting tonight? Day 6 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Yeah, 6 o'clock Chicago time, 7 o'clock LA Los Angeles. Florida Palm.
Okay, I'm sending it to you within a minute. Just waiting for my phone to reload.
I think I actually have two accounts on Blog Talk. It always asks me to log back in, so just to follow. Even on Facebook, when you sent me links, sometimes I just have, it's just weird. Sometimes I have difficulty. Just see. I was trying to.
Okay. Reba, here you go. Just sent it to you.
So you sent it where? To the text or what?
Here, okay, no, the your phone number.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. It just popped up. Thank you. Okay, so I'll share that link with everybody on tonight as well when we
now
go
that,
to the clubhouse.
That's this podcast.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yeah.
And so then on Monday, everybody could, you know, those interested. You need to invite people
to
come on.
Yeah, Monday, anybody who's interested in Clubhouse, they have to actually download the app to their device. I don't know if
Clubhouse is an app.
I mean, I don't know if can Clubhouse get on desktops and tablets and all that?
Yes, it's just, it is a phone app. You know what? I'm saying yes. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because the phone is a new transistor radio. So, I got Clubhouse on my phone. Oh, by the way, let's see. What's his name? A guy that we were talking to earlier this week, Delmar. He was. You got his number?
Who was that?
Delmar,
I do. Yeah, he shared it.
Yeah, he wants you to call him.
Okay, will do. I actually did try to reach out to him, but I was focused on Brother Pleasant.
He's the one that, besides his wife, he's got the
he drives
Pleasant's wife to the hospital.
Right. And so I talked to, maybe that's who she was talking to yesterday, and I did not ask. I was just asking about day before yesterday. So, yeah, I'll reach out him today. And, yeah, maybe invite him on tonight for our Clubhouse.
If you can get
in. 6 o'clock tonight, you guys. Clubhouse, it is an app. It's downloadable on iPhone, now Android. First, it was just iPhone. So, I'm actually trying to Google right now if it can be. My Wi-Fi is not connected on my other phone. I'm just trying to go to the Internet to see if Google or Siri can let me know if Clubhouse can be download it to a laptop or a desktop. Nevertheless, mostly everybody has phones. I've shared my phone to get in on this Clubhouse. So you guys keep in mind you get a wealth of information and resources and inspiration on how to live rent-free, mortgage-free. You would pay something. Like the gentleman, I don't know his name, that audio that you just shared, he said his only utility was the propane. He uses propane. But
yeah. But heat rid of renewable, like corn, wood pellets, natural renewable energy, like for instance, one of the reasons why I buy land and particularly if it's got trees on it, is because the branches that fall to the earth. Matter of fact, the first 4 acres I have here in Florida, I call it Earth Wealth E Village. E stands for Energy Village.
Yes.
It's a wooded. Did I ever see you pictures of that place?
Yes. I'm going to share that on the web.
It's heavily. It's wooded. It's got a few openings in it. But one of the primary reasons why I Well, let me break it down this way. Okay, it's called, once again, Earth Wealth E-Village. E stands for energy. Earth Wealth Energy Village. Acre, which is about the size of a football field, but let me give you some numbers. So the acre is 43,560 square feet. So I've got on that land, this is why I call it Earth Wealth, okay, is because you take 43,560 square feet, and below the surface of that, there's groundwater. So I have 43,560 square feet of groundwater times 4 acres. That's a 174,240 square feet of water. I don't need to go to any store and buy water, just off of that one piece of land. I'm on a quarter acre where I'm at right now, and I have a well with a reverse osmosis filtering system. I don't buy any water here.
Wow.
So that's the first piece of Earth Wealth. The next thing, The next thing is, well, you know, when we met 3 years ago, we met at Pleasant's place, and then we went on down to the country.
Yeah.
And it ain't Chicago, but that's the whole point. So when you're looking at that, all that land has groundwater. So, you know, if we put a dollar value on that, it'll run into the millions just on the water alone. Now, the next thing is that now you can't see the groundwater because it's groundwater. The next thing is it's my 4 acres has a lot of trees on it. And, you know, every fall it has dead leaves because in the fall the leaves fall to the ground on anything that's not an evergreen tree. And branches fall from the tree, you know, when that part of the tree dies off or whatever. But those dead leaves and the dead tree branches can all be converted into energy where I can cook food or heat a home. All right, and then the sun shines on 43,560 square feet for each one of those acres. So that's, multiply that by four, that's energy that I can convert into electricity. So that's why I call that place Earth Wealth Energy Village, Earth Wealth E-Village for short. So when we came, when we were up in Chicago, and we went to Pembroke and Hopkins Park, you know, all we saw was acres upon acres of land. Now, did it have a bus stop there? I didn't see any. I didn't see a Walmart. So the comfort, the creature comforts, and the conveniences that you would have in Chicago, you know, were not there. But Chicago's only, 45, an hour away, depending on the traffic. So for me, if I lived up in that neck of the woods, I would live in Hopkins Park or Pembroke or whatever, where I can build what I want to build. And then if I wanted to work, play, hang out, visit friends, whatever, an hour there, an hour back, I can do that. But I wouldn't have to worry about the roof over my head. I wouldn't have to worry about utility bills or anything like that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So that's the way I think.
So
and
we're teaching,
when it comes to couples building wealth, it's easier to do it where we went, because in Chicago, there are things we can do where we went in Pembroke and Hopkins Park that we will not be allowed to do in Chicago. Now, I'm not knocking Chicago. Great city,
but
people.
Yeah, the city has
certain
regulations.
We can't do
yeah.
There.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have the freedom to do it.
We'd be struggling. So, like, you know, you got three sons. So I would tell them, okay, keep your friends in Chicago. Do everything you want in Chicago. Just, and I don't know that whole area, that Chicago, metro area. But I would say an hour's radius of Chicago, there are places where if they would now talk about financial literacy, I consider learning how to use a circular saw or a cordless drill or a nail gun. Those are financial literacy power tools that we need to learn how to use so we can build like Lamar does, so we can have that mortgage-free house from the get-go.
Okay. And that's a circular saw.
Cordless drill, nail gun. You know, but once again, if you go on YouTube and look up power tools needed or minimum power tools needed for woodworking, and then just check out the videos. A lot of people just have two of those power tools, just two, and they're able to build.
You know, someone just gave me a chainsaw. I had a circular saw. A lot of my stuff was stolen, so I'm going to get it back.
Those are what I call financial literacy power tools.
Gotcha.
Because the reason why I say financial literacy power tools is because the average person who has graduated from college, even including Harvard or Yale and all that, they don't know how to build their – put it this way. Let me a better example. Rush hour. The average person who you see in bumper-to-bumper rush hour traffic here in the United States or any country around the world for that matter, they don't know – that video that I played with Lamar, they don't know how to build their own place. That's fundamental – And that a cockroach can build his own place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're supposed to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
Squirrels know how to do it. Rabbits can do it.
And the good thing is that you're teaching. I'd like to go ahead and get started with the first step because we talked about doing
Well, you know what? Tonight we can... We can set dates and all that because there's some things that we can give online and some things we can give by Zoom, you know, with safety and all that and safety and, you know, get your work gloves, get your work boots. If you got a pair of Timberlands, okay, use those as your work boots. You know, don't come out there in no flip-flops. Have your work gloves, get your goggles and get your hat. All this stuff you can get on Amazon. All right, so we can have some Zoom. But then, okay, now after we get the bare minimum, okay, let's go out and, you know, work with what we got to build what we need. Because, for instance, you might have some skills, and you do. You have skills I don't have and vice versa. That way you have a partnership. I'll do my part, you do my part, and we build together.
Yeah. Sharing resources and together, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hold on. Well, let me see. It's Earth Wealth E-Village, but I'm going to send it to you how I spell it. Earth Wealth and E.
Because I still see that page on Facebook.
Yeah, that's how I spell Earth Wealth E-Village. But, it stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village. Due to just the raw energy, like, say, the groundwater is energy. And, like, say, it's an acre is 43,560 square feet. So, and it's pure energy there that most people don't even recognize it, but it's in plain sight. So it's just like, it's one lady down there. I forgot it. Names right on the tip of my tongue. She has a doll collection down there in Pembroke. And she and her husband have 75 acres of land. So Let's multiply 75 times 43,560 square feet. They've got 3,267,000. They're millionaires off the raw resources of the land alone. More water than they get, they or anybody else can ever drink in a lifetime. You know, over 3 million square feet where you can plant food. So, I measure metrics and natural resources.
You know what's interesting? My brother has 4 acres. I need to take advantage of that. Let him know. We're coming down
exactly.
There.
Exactly. You really do.
You know, you have reasons. Like I said, stress will have you to the point where you can't really think straight. And I was, well, I was like stressed. I'm going to admit it. You know, sometimes you don't want to admit that you're stressed because I have so much concern and care for my children. So, mind you, just for the audience, for the sake of the audience, you know, not to be confused. I'm not
right
abandoning
now.
My sons. They're adults. So
no.
We're going to build my house. And I told them we were going to do the project in May.
Well, that's a way.
I gotta push myself, and I cannot procrastinate. We're gonna build, and we're gonna follow your leadership,
right?
Your guidance
right. See,
on it, and get
you,
it done
well,
by June 30th.
Imagine if your sons had once again just 1 acre, but that's 43,560 square feet of groundwater. I'm not even getting into the rainwater aspect of it, and where they can think about it. On an acre is the size of a football field. So your son, you know what? Take the son who has a child, and your son gets just 1 acre of land. And after he pays for it, because I bought land for as low as $200 an acre.
Wow.
Your grandchild can be set for life.
Yes. I'm just starting to in
and that's what
in,
that's
process.
What I call generational wealth. That's what I call
wow.
generational.
And my dad's building was sitting on a little bit more than a quarter acre.
Right.
Wow, because I was gonna do a mini mall. I guess I could have done a 25-year lease. But I was like,
well,
25
see,
years. I was 35 at the time. I was like, I could have done that and had some residual income.
Well, you're still young enough, and in good. You're still young enough, and then two. You're still in good health.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're a networker. So, and see, relationships or the people that you know are more important than money. But those relationships can be converted into money. It's just like I looked at it this morning. We had 80 people that dropped in the room. No, 70 people that dropped in the room on Monday night. For people listening, Couples Building Wealth on Clubhouse, 6 o'clock tonight, Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And the last I checked this morning, 99 people have totally
yeah,
dropped.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you know, so. And we were just supposed to speak for 1 hour. We went an hour and 50 minutes on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm going to say in our partnership, that happened because of you. I'll put it that way. Because you pulled more in that almost 2 hours than I might even pull in a whole week here.
Well, let's go to that partnership once again. Because you're
right.
An amazing
partner. Exactly.
I get nervous.
We have we got that type of partnership.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I'm nervous, so I had a loss of words and stuff. So.
Well, you're juggling a whole lot.
You
got a full plate. So, anyway, before Blog Talk drops us off, so people will be on Reba and I will be on Clubhouse this evening. Just download the app to your phone or whatever electronic device. And I think it's exclusive for phones because you have to give a phone number.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that.
Yeah, and then they have the connection.
I'm not
100%
sure, but that's how I got in. They ask for your phone number, and they link you in
yeah.
that way.
True. Because it did start off with just the iPhone, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because I got an
Android. And then I got an idea. I got an idea for that, maybe a Google Voice number, because I still have my Google Voice number. In the meantime, before we get cut off, maybe I could make a suggestion to the Clubhouse founders that if, you know, people want to get on from a computer, laptop or desktop, then they could probably still, instead of cell phone, because it's still developing.
Right.
Yeah, it's still developing
the
app. So.
It's amazing,
amazing
over
though,
the
so.
Last 20 years that things have come up. And anyway, all right, thanks for dropping in. Thanks all for listening.
Thank you.
See you guys tonight on Club. And Reva, I'm going to be checking in. I fell asleep the other day. I'll be checking in about 10 minutes before we're on. Matter of fact, I'll give you a text you before about 10 minutes before.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much.
Talk
great
to you
show.
Then. All right, bye.
All right.